edits all the music videos. Mm-hmm. We produce our own stuff. It's part of what we're doing. And so it's a bit rough around the edges. Mm-hmm. I have a tear in my show trousers, so don't stand too low when you're watching us. But yeah, DIY till you die, baby.
It's DIY, and Jim doesn't know how to sew, so there's no doing it yourself there. So the hole's there, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
DIY, dyeing your own stuff, sewing your own stuff. Yes. But you guys, you're currently a duo. You were briefly a trio. I think you started as well as a duo. So how's that kind of like, how's that process been of like playing those shows out there with only two members and still like bringing that energy?
So we did actually start as a trio. We were okay. A trio for the first, I guess like we've been a duo for about half of the band's life cycle now, which is quite crazy to think about. We loved being a three piece, but each time we got a new member, there were different reasons why they couldn't commit to doing it. And it got to a point where Jim was actually fed up of teaching people how to play the songs on bass. We really weren't sure what we wanted to do. Our booking agent was like, you guys would be great as a two-piece, you should just do that. And we hadn't even considered that option.
Okay.
And so we went into the practice room and we reconfigured all of Jim's guitar rigs so that he can play the bass parts, and it sounds, if you had your eyes shut, you'd think it's someone playing a bass guitar. He's got control of just playing the bass, just playing the guitar with the bass, and he can flip around, bless him, tap dancing. And we were like, you know what, this does sound good, and it means that we can sort of both give it the beans and share the attention between the two of us. And it's just worked. I think it's worked really well. I think it's like the most, I think people have understood what we're going for more since we've been two than when we were three, I think. I don't know if you agree, Jim.
I agree.
It feels like you guys have more of the chemistry on stage from a couple of like clips, recent clips that I've seen, where it's just the two of you. Seems like you like really understand what each other is doing, and you're able to like translate that energy, and then you know that the crowd feels it as well. Yeah?
Yeah, that is... yeah, bang on. And you haven't seen us live before yet?
Not seen you live, only the clips.
Yeah. Okay, well, you are picking up what we're putting down. We're a lockdown band. We started releasing music during COVID times. And, the songs are simple. They're very loud. We are pulling in the same direction. So I feel like we're at our best at the minute. Come and see us live now, because it's all downhill from here.
I think that when there's three people, two people can't engage with each other without the third person being left. You can do like a sort of three person thing, but it's just not that natural. So you know, we're either locking in with each other or we're locking in with the audience, and that's quite nice. It's quite, you know, easy to connect. It's cool.
Makes sense. The band Polycule doesn't work. the first time that I heard of you guys, you kind of burst onto the scene post-lockdown with Skeletons. That was like 2021-ish. And it's like making that transition then from being this like lockdown band, writing almost in like separate spaces, to then just like everyone connecting with that song so strongly when you started playing it out live. What was that experience like?
Yeah, all of that was a bit mad, really, because I'd played drums in bands for years, and I'm not bothered now, nothing phases me now, but it is a scary thing to sort of go up and command a room. It's taken a while for me to figure out the live thing, but I'm there now, and can I swear I don't give a flip, so I just go for it, and we're flying high now. You should come see us. Whoever's listening.
All of the first EP was recorded and completely finished, and none of the songs had been played as a band, if that makes sense.
Right.
But
all just kind of emailing files back and forth?
Yeah, kind of. Like Jim, because of the nature of it, Jim played most of the instruments on that one, and then Nicole, at the two was in the band at the time, sung her parts, I think. Right,
I think so.
Yeah. Was Nicole playing? I don't know. But that's kind of weird. And now, obviously, we do play the songs together.
Mm-hmm. And you've gone from that very like indie, punky, garage rock kind of sound to now that you've put out your debut album, Cash Rich. There's so much more going on the album. Like, there's a bit of, like, lo-fi kind of indie, punky guitars. There's, like, an almost spoken word instrument, spoken word, like, ambient track, almost. There's the very shoegazy song on it as well. I Am a Daydream. There's just so much different stuff going on there. So, like, how did that transition happen? Like, getting all these other influences in?
I think the nature of being a human being who writes music is that hopefully you're writing all the time. And so I'm writing all the time. And in the early days, when we were releasing EPs and shorter releases, it didn't feel like some of the more, you know, you said shoegazy and more peculiar songs didn't have a home on an EP, and it felt like they needed to be saved until we put out a full length. So, you know, the debut album is a big pot of lots of different ideas, some of them being a bit older and some of them being new. The beautiful thing about a full length is that you can push the boat out a bit, so we took the opportunity to do exactly that.
Mm-hmm. I think if you go too varied on an EP, you risk being received as a band that don't know what they're trying to achieve. Mm-hmm. I've been in bands before, and I've like read reviews where it's like people are they're not that open-minded to it. But when interestingly, the reviews for the record were like, I love how varied this is. It's like, you know, going through a journey, and that's what we wanted it to be, like finding a way to find cohesion in different styles of music and make it just like ebb and flow throughout. So hopefully, I think for the most part, it has been received like that.
I think it comes through that, like, you have a little bit of space on an album as well to, like, include a little bit of variation and stuff while still having it seem very focused and what you guys are calling grit pop. Yeah? I also wanted to ask, is it true that one of you was in a Spice Girls tribute band, and does that at all play into this?
I wish that was true. That our first bass player, Nicole, was Sporty Spice in a Spice Girls tribute band, but not me or Tom. Next time that question is asked, though, I will have a full story about how it was me and how I was Scary Spice. But no, it wasn't one of us.
Not too late to start.
the Spice Girls influence, that ship sailed, unfortunately, so now we're spiceless.
Spiceless. But you mentioned that the album is a bit of a journey. And I can kind of see that, like, when I look at the album, it almost feels like a concept album. Like, that's maybe giving it a little bit too much, like, thinking about it too hard. But, like, it seems like a bit of a concept album where you've got, like, an everyday person going about life, making all sorts of, like, observations, having fun. But then there's, like, this, like, undercurrent of, like, the real world and anxiety and everything that's kind of just, like, knocking on the door. Mm. Yeah?
Totally. Yes. That is astute. An astute observation, Rue. I feel like I wear my influences on my sleeve, and I am a ginormous fan of Courtney Barnett, the Australian singer-songwriter. Yeah. And what she does so brilliantly is to write songs that are about the wee things in life and how, but making them feel very grandiose. They are so relatable and so political in a way as well. I feel like I've definitely taken influence from that lyrically on the record. The root of the record is about environmentalism and how if we don't act now, we will lose our planet. Mm-hmm. To be more accurate, we won't lose the planet. The planet will be fine, but the humans will no longer be here. So yeah. Unless we do something, there'll be a problem. So that, I mean, that's at the heart of the record, and that is what dictated the album cover as well. Mm-hmm. Which, if you're listening and you don't know who Snake Eyes are, we are a phenomenal rock band from the UK. But the album cover is a fish man wearing a suit.
Business fish.
A business fish. Mm-hmm. And the idea was, who will be left when the sea levels rise to the point that, you know, countries cease to exist.
Only the business fish.
Only the business fish. Only those wealthy enough to continue business as usual, to grow gills.
They will capitalise the business fish.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I see that on songs like No Cars. Mm. There's a lot of other, like, obviously you guys aren't afraid to, like, be political on the albums. I'm seeing that coming through on a lot of the other songs, like HGTV as well, where you're kind of, I think, going, like, you know, there's all this stuff going on and you could choose to just distract yourself, you know, with something that's like fun and bright and visual and like an HDTV, but that's not like fixing the problems in the background.
Yep, bang on. Totally. We are a very DIY band, and I've had lots of minimum wage jobs, and those are the jobs that often involved you working too hard for not enough money. And all of that naturally filters into the music. And it's not because I feel that I am, you know, more valuable, but we all are entitled to more out of this life. Life is too short for us to be doing things that we hate. Do you know what I mean? And so, yeah, that's I can't help but squeeze that in where I can.
Definitely.
Mm.
And I also want to talk about the music video for HGTV because it's so fun.
Yes.
And there's, like, little references to a lot of other, like, pop culture moments. I see a bit of Top of the Pops, a little bit of the news, a lot of film references. And you said that you were very DIY and you do all the editing yourself. That must have been a very fun one to do.
Yeah, that was fun. It was a bit silly, really, but we sometimes when we're making the videos an idea just really jumps to the song, if you like, and we thought it would be fun to put ourselves on the TV, and we're, you know, we're watching the TV and then we are in the TV, sort of, I don't know, peep show esque and we did have a lot of fun doing the, like, Breaking Bad thing and the, like, the pop star and the rock star and some more maybe UK-based TV references, like Come Dine With Me and things like that. But it was silly, but it was cool. And our friend Lee helped us with pretty much all of the music videos for the album campaign, so thank you, Lee. And then I take what we create together and edit it and grade it and do all the business to it. So it's good fun. It's like a nice additional creative arm to a band, I think.
Yeah.
So even though the music video isn't what it used to be and now things are geared towards short form, I'm not going to say the C word, I still like to give people that are interested an avenue to become more invested in our band by, like, looking through. I think we have a crazy, like, 15 music videos or something at this point, so something like that. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's making a comeback almost, because you see a lot of people in the form of video podcasts or whatever coming back towards, like, longer videos. So who knows?
True.
Long live the Snake Eyes YouTube channel.
Fingers crossed, yeah.
Another song on the album that I really like, Hug Me. Everyone needs a hug every now and then. Really fun. Like, I think that was one of the first songs from the album as well, right? If I'm remembering right?
Mm-hmm. But that was the first single.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A great way to, like, launch the album almost.
Mm. Yeah, that one in particular. I mean, there is so much to talk about here. Supposedly, here's a tidbit about Hug Me. The song was written, I got signed off of work with an anxiety disorder. I couldn't see my friends, I couldn't go to the shops, and I got let go from the job in the end. And I had to listen to my body, which just needed a break from touring and from working and everything. That's where the song came from, hence Hug Me. But it was, influence-wise, I it's niche, but I wanted to write a song that sounded like Sex Bob-omb, which is Scott Pilgrim's band. in Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, he plays in a fictional band called Sex Bob-omb. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to write a song that Sex Bob-omb might play. And ironically, we are in Toronto now, playing North by Northeast, and supposedly in the comic books they hang out at Sneaky D's, which is the venue that we are playing tonight. That's crazy. We are living in a simulation, people. The Matrix is real, for real.
It all comes full circle.
Yeah.
And I've also got to ask about the collaboration, of course, because you had Eric from Pabst, great German band, joining you on that song, in like writing as well as on the instrumentations, right? How did that come about to be? I know you were like on tour with them and everything.
So Eric, so we wrote the song, and then we sent some loose vocal ideas to Eric, and then we just let him run with it. And he did such a great job of just raising the energy and the kind of fun factor of the song, which was really nice. But how it came about, we just get on really well. We've played with them on two tours in Germany. They came over and did some of our headline tour for the album. Eric featured on Hug Me. They then asked us to feature on a song. Well, they said, here's our album, what, pick a song and you can feature on it. And I, my favourite from listening to them all was a song called Big Big Heart. So we jumped on Big Big Heart. And we just got a cool thing going on. Eric's come to shows in Germany and performed with us on, I think, three occasions out there. He then played the tune with us in the UK. We just got a bit of a love affair with that band, and they're such an amazing band and such nice, down-to-earth, sweet, talented people. So we've just stayed in touch, and I think maybe Jim wrote the song and was like, this would be a cool song, you know. It just, he heard in the song Eric's voice, so we asked him, right? You had that earmarked like early on, I think. Yeah, Eric obliged and then asked us if we would return the favour. So, yeah, simple as that, really.
Yeah. And it's not the only collaboration on the album. You've had a few along the album.
Yeah. Who else has been on the record? So
Joss Stone on vocals on the experimental title track.
That's right. I, outside of the band, do a lot of work with Joss Stone, and she is such a lovely and warm human being, and her favourite thing to do in music, her favourite part about music, is collaboration. So when we were thinking about who we wanted to read that, I was like, I could ask her, she does love to collaborate. And I was like, I'm not sure if she'll go for it, but, and then she was just really happy to do it, and she just recorded it in her home studio. And it was interesting, the demo which Jim's partner Claire read was very different, so it took us a bit of time to like unhear that and hear the new version, you know.
And
I think Joss put her own flavour on it, which is really nice, as she does with everything that she is involved in. So yeah, Joss was on there. Our three previous members are all on the album in a different way. Nicole features on a song, Gabby features on a song, and Soph actually played a lot of the bass parts live in the room in the studio with us.
Okay.
So that was really nice to feel like we've brought a little piece of all of them with us, because we love them all, you know. I think that's all of them. Have I missed anything? I think that's everything.
And Jim, you mentioned being influenced by Courtney Barnett, and you were just talking about how she like gets into the weeds with all these songs, and it immediately made me think of Slugs. Because like on the surface it's like, oh, there's slugs in the house. I wouldn't think of that as like something to write a song about, but you turn it into this lovely little piece.
Yeah, totally. That for me is a real snapshot of time. I moved to Brighton in the UK in 2019, and I was in a basement flat, and quite literally there would be slugs. You'd get out of bed and there would be slugs in the lounge, they would be in the kitchen. As it says in the song, it really is not hyperbole.
Everywhere.
There were slugs literally everywhere.
Literal slugs.
Literal slugs. And but it's weird how with music, you're right, it is so simple lyrically. But it's moving, right? As in, we've had people say how they've been moved by that song, and it's funny how music can do that, where something, a little song about bugs, could make you cry, or, you know, as in, like, it's that's the power of music, man.
Yep. Someone wrote to us that was like, this song has just brought me to tears, like, I love it, sort of thing, and it's a beautiful thing, really. Yeah.
I love that. Absolutely love that for you guys. I do also want to talk about the whole Brighton thing. So you guys are from Brighton, you formed in Brighton, and I feel like there's been a bit of an explosion of a music scene out there, and not just of any one genre. So many little, like, different mini scenes, and half the time you hear about bands and it's like, oh, they're from Brighton again, they're from Brighton.
Yeah.
How's like your experience in the Brighton music scene been?
How's our experience in the Brighton music scene been? Yeah, it's been good. We have lots of friends in lots of bands in Brighton who are, as you say, so many different genres, who are doing so many different things. But yeah, it's an ever-growing scene. There are so many venues, so many up-and-coming young bands. You know, there's something in the water, or there is, you know... It's just one of those cities in the UK... Bristol and Brighton that has, it's just where creatives are, you know, like moths to a flame, all seem to gravitate towards.
Neither of us are from Brighton natively, originally.
I feel like that almost helps bring a fresh perspective to it.
But we both ended up moving to Brighton for slightly different things, but we both moved to Brighton to be part of something bigger than the places that we were from, where we felt that there was more creativity, more inspiration, more community, and Jim, that's fair to say, isn't it? You wanted to be somewhere that felt alive to then start a band and be part of something, rather than start a band in a smaller place and feel like you're on your own with it. And I was already living in Brighton at the time. I'd moved there with my now wife to be involved in the music scene there. She was a programmer at the Green Door Store, which is like a great, great venue.
Okay.
And I was kind of starting my photography journey when I first moved to Brighton. So.
And how did the band start?
We played in a band previously called Guillotine, who are a great band, and they've actually just started releasing music again without us, which is, you know, that's cool. It was the right thing to do. And in that band, Jim played the drums and I played the bass guitar, and I joined after the first EP, and I had recorded a 3-track that we released myself, and then Jim decided to step away from that band to write songs that he fronted, played guitar, rather than writing towards the band. You know, musical tastes were moving in different directions, whatever. And because I had made the 3-track, he came to me and said, I've got some songs, would you help me produce, you know, record, bring them to life?
Okay.
And over the process of that, Jim was like,
this is feeling like a new band.
Jim was like, I do need a drummer. And I was like, I don't know, I don't really think I'm gonna play in like a band that wants to push it out there again, I don't think, you know. And then as time went on, I got really into the songs, and then Jim was like, you know the songs now, would you mind playing drums so that I can make a music video so I can get the band off the ground? And I was like, yeah, I can do that, that's cool.
That's
so then I got that a little bit more invested. And then he was like, you know the songs now, do you fancy playing drums for the first gig so I can get the band off the ground? And I was like, yeah, I'll do that, I'll be fun. And then from just doing these things, I was like, I'm in.
Before you know it.
I just realised, yeah, how much I loved it, and how this band felt more fun and less stressful and less serious. Obviously, it's still serious, but there was a nature to it that made it more enjoyable and less pressured.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like a really beautiful thing. So yeah, I was signed up.
Mm-hmm. Slowly,
wore me down.
Slowly brought in. Yeah, I feel like the best bands are doing something serious while also clearly having fun. But what's coming up next for you guys, like festivals and such over the summer?
So we get back to the UK and we play kind of on a festival stage that's outside of a really beautiful music venue that's literally on the sea in a place called Bexhill, which is just outside of Hastings, where I now live, with some great bands like Heavy Lungs and Bones 8 Arthur, both kind of friends, associates of ours. Mm-hmm. And then we go to Spain and play a festival there for the first time, which we're really looking forward to. We come back from that and we play 2000 Trees Festival, which we're really excited for. One of the best festivals in the UK, in my opinion. And then I think we take a beat and then we start touring again towards the end of the year, and we've got a stretch in Germany with a bunch of other European dates that are kind of about to be announced.
These are all your headline shows?
It will be a combination of support shows with a band called Muff Potter, who are like a legendary German kind of punk rock-ish band. So there'll be some really nice big rooms across Germany. We intertwine that with some headline shows. And then there's at least another three, four, sort of maybe at least another six headline shows to announce and counting to put together with that tour. So it'll be the longest tour we've done for a long time, maybe ever. So we're really looking forward to it.
That's almost like the strength of character. And are you guys bands that like write in soundcheck or any of that sort of thing? Like, is there music already on your mind?
So Jim is a busy little bee, and Jim likes to keep himself busy. So Jim writes a lot from home with his computer.
Okay.
And then builds up a catalogue of songs and then brings them to me, and then I guess I come in as like a producer writer, where I'm like, let's try this, let's try that, this song's perfect, this song I don't like as much as the others, blah 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 blah. And we're sat on tens of songs towards what we do next, and we're trying to keep our focus on the album that we're touring now, and then in the background trying to kind of flick through the vault and see what we want to do next.
Okay, and is there more like musical expansion on whatever comes next? What's it sounding like?
One word, vibes. there's I think we sonically know what the next record is going to be like. There's already ideas for, you know, potential names and potential covers and all that. But yeah, it's a work in progress, but it's exciting. I love traveling with music, and I love meeting people with music, but I especially love writing music. And so that is very much a focus for me all the time. So there is very much the next Snake Eyes record, and even the one after that, are all they're floating around there in the mind space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cannot wait to hear it. And what can people expect when they see you tonight at Sneaky D's?
What can they expect? A bit of feedback. Drums far too loud. A bit of swearing. Some sweat. Probably jumping off a bar. And a really good time. And the best band they'll see this weekend, without a shadow of a doubt.
Of course. And which song from the album should we go out with? There's so many different ones. There's so many different directions we could take this. What's your favourite song that I should play to take us out?
I think it can only be, because of the venue we're playing, it's got to be Hug Me, doesn't it?
Of course.
In honour of the great Scott Pilgrim. God bless.
Amazing. Snake Eyes, Jim, Thomas, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you so much.
Lovely to meet you.
CFRC is stoked to partner with KPP Concerts on an awesome summer lineup. On June 27th, be sure to catch Long Range Hustle and Psycho Billy Legends Reverend Horton Heat on June 28th. On July 3rd, check out alt country legend Fred Eaglesmith, followed by folk punk legend Billy Bragg on July 5th. Emo is alive and well on July 8th with Arms Length and Mo Kenny come to town on July 9th. Hip-hop pioneer Souls of Mischief are here on July 21st, and we'll get some hardcore action with Spaced on July 23rd. Almond Monica brings Arabic Jazz to Kingston on August 7th, and finally, August 9th, you can see Lucero Ben Nichols. For tickets and full information on these and other awesome shows, visit kppconcerts.com.
Hello, you are listening to CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario. It is now 11:30. Welcome to the Release Radar Rundown, brought to you in partnership with the Kingston Music Office. I'm Dinah Jansen. This program features smoking hot local singles released right here in Kingston, Ontario that have been featured in our weekly Release Radar series. Local artists can get in on the action with social media promotion and airplay on CFRC's airwaves by completing the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visitkingston.music on Instagram. This week, we've got another fun special episode for you featuring a conversation with Chris Royer, known locally for his work with the band Pound Salt, but who also just came out with a new single teasing his first solo project. We'll have a chat with him and then listen to his new song. Let's jump in on it right now. Thanks for joining us. All right, welcome to CFRC, Chris. It's such a pleasure to have you with us in the virtual studio today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, buddy. So really excited to chat with you about your new single, Won't Find Me South. But first, some of our listeners may be aware, but some others may not be aware that you also are part of another really great local band called Pound Salt, who we've played quite a lot on CFRC. Tell us about your work with the band and the creative stuff that you've done together.
Absolutely. So Pound Salt, we formed, I think, 3 years ago, about 3 years ago. And we are a hard rock slash punk slash, just a rock and roll band that, really pride ourselves on the energy that we bring and the live performance that we do. It's something that we specifically love, about being in a band. It's sort of one of those things that at the grassroots of it all is the joy of playing live and performing with other people, but playing some music that's got a little bit of edge to it as well. So Pound Salt started about 3 years ago. I am the singer, the primary vocalist and guitar player in Pound Salt. We've released, I think we've probably released six or seven songs now, on social media, on all the streaming platforms. But our journey started, about 3 years ago, when we started gigging, playing mainly Kingston and Kingston area shows, the Mansion, being one of the big venues for us back in the day. Fortunate enough to get on a couple bills at like the Broom Factory and other places like that. But throughout our 3 year career, thus far, it was sort of like just starting as a grassroots sort of thing, completely DIY. We've been fortunate enough to press some pretty cool merchandise and record some cool songs. And along the way, we sort of learned and networked to meet some cool people, not just in Kingston, but in just the music scene in general. So our first single, Into the Fray, we were fortunate enough to work with Jay Emmons from the Glorious Sons and Steve Kirstein now with the Glorious Sons as well. And that was like really cool, really eye-opening for us to see behind the curtain and what it takes to do like the production, the pre-production, the writing and things like that, that go into like even a single song, like a 3-minute song. It was it was really intense and really cool, and we're very fortunate to get to work with the two guys that we were fortunate enough to get on board with for our first single. And from there, we did a couple songs with Jay and Steve, and then we were fortunate enough to kind of move around and do a couple a song or two with different producers and different sound engineers in Kingston and area. So we were fortunate enough to really network and start to meet more like-minded people and try out different songs with different people and things like that. So throughout like the 3 years of Pound Salt and writing and recording songs, I've been super fortunate to meet new people and sit with them when we're recording and see kind of the stuff that I liken it to being like an apprentice in a tattoo shop. Is like there's some things that you can't really YouTube or like watch videos on. There's some things that you just like inherently pick up when somebody's doing their craft. And I found that there's just been some small things I've been able to pick up along the way that's like, oh, it's like a really cool idea where they place a mic for this or how they capture that sound and things like that. So over the 3 years and all the sessions and things we've done, I think all of us were very fortunate to pick up these little like tools and these things that not everybody would get to really see unless you're really putting the time and energy into trying to make it. And that's the thing with Pound Salt has been like all energy, all effort, all the time from its inception to current day. So it's kind of like the origin of Pound Salt and the DIY. And like, again, we've been fortunate to get a lot of bills with like local artists and like out of town artists and played with like really cool bands and like things that are bucket list bands and shows for us over the years through Kingston as well.
Now you have broken out with your own side project, Royer. What motivated you to break out on your own? You've done some exquisite work and a lot of it with Pound Salt, but now you've got something of your own. Let's hear more about it.
Yeah, so the solo music and the solo project is sort of born out of it's like it born out of necessity almost. So it's like a lot of life events and things happening for not just myself but the other members in Pound Salt. So it's like you pour everything into it, and we not like lock ourselves in a basement for 3 years, but like we really take would really take all the time and opportunities we'd have to get together and sit and write. My wife and I very fortunately welcomed two kids in the last 2 years. So we went from having zero kids to having two under two, which is the greatest thing ever. But it's very time consuming. It doesn't like rearrange your priorities, but it just becomes a lot more difficult to realistically pour extracurricular effort into something. So guilty as charged, and just finding it like difficult to navigate that. Not just like leading into having a child, but like they're still like toddlers at this point, and it's like it's all consuming, and they're like relatively exhausting, if not exhausting. But it's also like what's kind of what you want to do. It's like I just want to be around my kids too as much as possible. So it's like there's like a mind change already automatically that. But I'm not the only one as well in the band that have had like our bass player Ryan and his partner welcome their first kid, and our guitarist has like a young kid. And so it's like it's not just one person trying to navigate really new circumstances. It's like really all four of us seems to be at the same time like at these sort of crossroads at our lives where it's like, oh, we got a lot going on. So for me, this project kind of came about just in the couple hours when, my wife would go to bed, or at the time with our first daughter, when they would, go down and go to bed, there's a couple hours before I could go to sleep and just sneak down into the basement and really play acoustic music, something that isn't overly loud. And that's really where like Royer and the project kind of birth was, just still wanting to have some creative output because I've been writing music for, all of my adult life, most, probably over half of my life at this point. It's just found it's kind of like, it's kind of like not something that I can just shut off. So it's just inherently be writing stuff, even without a guitar in my hand, just a melody. It's kind of where some of the songs started, would just be like a melody and, go downstairs in the basement, pick up a guitar and sort of write the songs and kind of start trying to record them along the way. So it was like over the course of last, probably the end of last summer, that I was like writing and capturing, ideas and of the songs and not really having a lot of time to sit and stew over them, which was fruitful. It was like one of those things that I usually write music and songs that are, personal and come from somewhere that's like, deep-seated or, something that's a personal experience for me. So I kind of use this time to just try and be a better songwriter. I'm like, I would like to practice writing songs for the art of writing songs that, isn't something that I personally am going through or personal experience, but just like I'd like to be able to write a good song. And so that's like kind of how this project started. I just was like writing music, and before I knew it, it kind of turned into like a story. Is how this I actually have like an album that's recorded now, with one first single out already, but more to come. And it just I ended up kind of putting it together, in like not intentionally, and really telling like a story that was not mine, but it was pretty cool to kind of have that happen. So it was like just writing and recording at the same time with a little bit of tools and stuff that we've picked up in the last few years of being like serious musicians and spending time in the studios. So from there I was able to like play back and listen to it the following day, and oh, it's actually not too bad, and get ideas that way. And then it's like sort of realizing the sound that I do have and what I'm able to capture, and then my musical mind just kind of automatically processes songwriting that way for this project.
Thank you very much. Quite the journey you've had, and congratulations on your growing family too. Indeed. So you talked about your solo project. Thank you so much for that. One of the things that I found really remarkable is your new solo project. Yeah, as yourself, you also just recently played a show with Mall Crimes and Crown of Antlers at Spring Reverb, like a couple weeks ago. Tell us about that show.
That was a lot of fun. It was surreal. It was really cool. So with my band Pound Salt, that would normally be a bill that we would sit on quite well, like a aggressive punk band and a heavy metal band, a wall of sound, technically savvy musicians. I love Crown of Antlers, and Mall Crimes they were so fun. So normally that'd be a Pound Salt show. But again, just we haven't had like the availability to look into booking shows and committing. There's just been a lot of things that have taken our time constraints. So I actually was offered to open up this show as Royer, as my solo stuff. And I know Mark quite well at KPP, and it was an intentional bill to put me at the start of the night. My sound is pretty strong vocals, and like a storytelling aspect, and a chorus and a hook here and there. And it went really well. I think I was able to talk to a lot of like attendees and things like that. And it's like it wasn't like so out of the realm that it was, it was like seeing three completely different shows, but it was kind of like I was kind of like the sorbet, in between tasting fine dishes. I was like the palate cleanser. It was no, it was cool. It was a lot of fun. It was at Musiki, and we were fortunate to play outside. So the stage has like a magnolia tree that's growing right in the center of it, and the ambiance was perfect. It was great. It was my first time performing like all originals, pretty much the album that's going to be out, playing that live in full as a solo artist. And then again, after my set, it got really heavy, really loud, really fast with Crown of Antlers and Mall Crimes. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. And Spring Reverb is such a special festival. It's something that I've always wanted to be a part of. Again, I've grown up in Kingston, so when I was in high school, I would go to the KPP shows and try and help Mark by postering my school in downtown. And like, I've always loved what KPP does, and Mark and team are very special. So to have been able to has played a small role and sort of debut this debut my songs there, and it was fun, and it was special. It was a very chaotic and very fun night. It was very cool.
Amazing. All right, Chris. So now you've hinted that there's a new album coming down the line, but we're going to feature your brand new single just released at the end of May called Won't Find Me South. Tell us about this song.
Yeah, so Won't Find Me South is one of the first songs that I wrote for this project. It was kind of, again, I guess came from a fictional story. Part of like, say there's probably four songs, five songs of the eight songs on my album that I wrote sort of at the same time, like throughout a couple weeks of that broken, couple hours at night, fiddle around and put stuff away. So Won't Find Me South was the third song in that story. So it's like it's something that people will kind of understand and learn more of when the whole album is out. It ended up being somewhat personal as well. I mean, it's very easy to take a song or lyrics and sort of extrapolate or apply to yourself and your life. That's one of the things that I love about music, but is like evident from this process as well, is when I finished and I look back on a song, I'm like, oh man, that could, that's pretty on the nose for right now and things that are happening in my life or in the world. So it's really wasn't meant to be written as like a snapshot of me and how I'm feeling right now. It's really more part of like a complete story in this sense for this album. But also I think, by osmosis, there's just so much going on, in the world. And it's like kind of cliche to say it, but it's been like a really crazy couple of years for sure, where it's like the apex of it's like the apex of constantly being barraged with, social media and news and just really weird times, really trying times. And I feel like that's like magnified now that I'm a parent with kids. It's like things that not that it wouldn't bother me, but like things that like really things like really bother me in ways that it's like not about me. It's about, kids, my kids, and like future generations of like what's happening now and like that ripple effect and seeing how that can play out by the time the next generation's through. So it's like it is what not necessarily intentionally about now, but it's like I think through songwriting it's been like, those things that have been like depressing and overwhelming and like not even something that I necessarily would sit and say I need to release this, but like as I'm writing it, I'm like, it's very applicable to how I feel and have felt the last while. Again, especially magnified with being a parent and trying to navigate, this world, I guess, as cheesy as it is, but like navigate this world now, not just like local to me and my house and this and that. It's like just really hard to kind of navigate through and find find like the positive vibes all the time. You have to really search for them some days, and it's just it felt like that was magnified lately.
Yeah, indeed. Thank you so much. All right, so we've got a little bit of time left, Chris. Thank you so much for sharing about your new single and the work that you've done on your solo project. Certainly the work you've done with Pound Salt and even your most recent show with Ball Crimes and Crown of Antlers. I wonder if you have any upcoming gigs happening locally or even regionally you want to plug while you're here with us.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to do, this summer is spend time with my young family as much as possible. So I've been a little more selective in what gigs and things I'm going to be pursuing and booking. I'm also focusing on releasing my album. So as I'm a new artist, again, Royer, R-O-Y-E-R, you can check me out on streaming platforms or social media. But I'm going to be releasing a new song probably, it looks like every 3 weeks until October when I'll be dropping the full album. So there will be a hometown release show, an album release show in October. I'll have more details in a little bit. But it's looking like it'll be October. We'll do an album release show in Kingston. And aside from that, I'm doing some like private gigs. Going to be playing like, fortunate to have been invited to perform at some weddings. Maybe not, won't find me south per se, but be playing acoustic music in that. And just looking to actually get out of not just the Kingston, but I'm going to be trying to get into like playing some shows in outside of Kingston. So the hometown album release will be hopefully some excitement for me to get on stage and play all my songs for Kingston.
Awesome. And give us a quick reminder how we can follow you on Instagram to keep up with the latest.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram. It's my handle is Royer. I'm at Chris Royer Music. You can find me on Instagram. You can find my debut single, Won't Find Me South, on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, Bandcamp, any of the streaming platforms as well. Mm-hmm. And June 17th, I'll have my second single will be released. So that's just a couple weeks from now. Back to You is the title of that song that'll be coming out June 17th.
All right, and we'll be excited to feature that one as well. And yeah, we'll have to catch up with you in the early fall to before your new album drops. Really excited about that. But thanks, Chris, for joining us. I hope the kidlets, it is 8:20 at the time of recording, 8:25. Maybe your tiny ones are in bed right now.
Yeah, I've got my monitor set up right beside the camera here. I've got my eyes on the kids right now. They're both sleeping and allowing me to do this this chat with you.
Well, thank you very much. This will be airing more like midday, but thank you for joining us in the evening after the kidlets go to bed. It's really nice that you were able to reserve some time to chat with us so much. And we look forward to having you back on the station again and playing more of your remarkable music. Congrats on your new single, Won't Find Me South, and excited to give it a play right now. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
And thanks again to Chris Royer for chatting with us all about his creative work locally with Pound Salt, his new solo project, and his new single, Won't Find Me South. The new track is a raw and honest navigation of the past year, capturing a sense of malaise found in many households at home and abroad. Learn more on Democracy Now!, coming up at the top of the hour. And just a reminder for local musicians out there who want their new work amplified on social media and aired on CFRC, can complete the release radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit Kingston.music on Instagram. Don't forget to give us a follow at CFRC Music on Instagram as well. Emerging musicians can also sign up now through our Instagram and website for our upcoming and totally free Airwave YGK songwriting workshop with local singer-songwriter Savannah Shea on July 3rd. Space is limited for this free workshop. RSVP today. For now, I hope you've enjoyed our conversation with Chris Royer and our bed music called Into the Fray by Chris's band Pound Salt. Let's have a listen to Chris's lovely solo work now. Thanks for tuning into the Release Radar Rundown, developed in partnership with the Kingston Music Office. I'm Dinah Jansen. We'll see you next time.
Coins burning holes in my pocket. Buy it new instead of clean the stain. What's the story on saving currency? You can't take it with you. I don't read into the plot line. I can't ever seem to stay awake. It's funny how the story's changing. I can't stay away, and I say, all I need's my mattress, baby. Sleep through the doomsday. Find me north, east, west today. You won't find me south of Point Pelee. Fire in my hands, I don't drop it. Spend it quick instead of save a thing. What's the point in counting nickels? There's no cash in the grave. I don't track the thread or the meaning. I just drift away and lose the day. It's funny how the end keeps changing. Still I chase the same fame and I say, it's getting pretty hard now, they say. Every day's a shame. Find me north, east, west today. You won't find me south of Point Pelee. It's not funny. I don't give a fuck about the money. What the kids get from me, it's love for their home. It's getting pretty hard now, they say. Every day's a shame. I'll be hitting flatline daily, but I can't go away. All I need's my mattress, baby. I'll sleep through that doomsday.
Are you listening from inside a local prison, or do you have a friend or loved one in a local prison or youth detention center? Calls from Home is a monthly radio program for you. On Calls from Home, we share voicemails, messages, song requests, and dedications. Anyone can contact us with a message or song request for a friend or loved one on the inside. To get in touch, call or text 613-917-1390. Email cfrcprisonradio@riseup.net or send us a message on Instagram at cfrcprisonradio. The CFRC radio signal reaches the following local and regional prisons: Millhaven, Bath, Collins Bay and Frontenac, Joyceville and Pittsburgh, the Sundance Youth Detention Center here in Kingston, Quinte in Napanee, and the Cape Vincent Correctional Facility in upstate New York. Messages and song requests will be broadcast once per month on Wednesday between 7 and 8 p.m. here on CFRC 101.9 FM or on the web at cfrc.ca. For 2025, Calls from Home will air on the following dates: April 16th, May